Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The literal Greek reads, this think ye among you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God. Now, there are long philosophic discussions in various commentaries on that word form, because it has, for most people, a space-time dimension. Best not to labor the philosophic meaning of the word back to Plato and other Greek philosophers, because by the time this text was written, it had a common, ordinary sense meaning, essential nature or essence, being of the same essence, of the same essential nature, had nothing to do with cookie cutter size. Being of the same nature or essence as God, thought it not, strike out that word robbery, I want to deal with it again, and write down the Greek word transliterated with English letters. Har Pagmon, H-A-R-P-A-G, M-O-N. From Harpagzo. Strongs won't help you here. But that word has two meanings, as I said the other night. One is to seize something not your own, unlawfully. And that's true of Christ. It wasn't an unlawful seizure for him to think himself equal with God. And that's the only meaning for robbery. So when they chose the English word robbery, they made an editorial choice on one of those rare words in the Greek that is not precise, having two meanings. We're used to that in English. Very few words don't have multiple meanings. The Greek, being the precise language it is, doesn't have that many words, relatively, with multiple meanings. This is one of them. You need to write harpagnon, H-A-R-P-A-G-M-O-N, harpagmon, and strike out robbery, because harpagmon also means to seize and hold a treasure or anything so precious to you, you will hold it against all odds and all hazards. You got all that written down? It's that second meaning that fits the context. The first meaning, chosen by the King James translators, has Christ making an assertive statement, defending his right to be equal with God. When you have a word in the Greek that has dual meanings, the context has to control. The context here is humility, self-denial, stepping down, and even though, by contrast, the point of the writer is made like an abstract third person looking on. We're analyzing Christ. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself no reputation. The second meaning, which is the one that should be used here, is true to the context. Who, being in the form of God, thought that form, that essence of being, equal with God, not to be a treasure that he would hold against anything, including the opportunity to humble himself as God's instrument of salvation. We don't have a word. We have to use a phrase to translate that alternate meaning of our pogmon. And you need to write in the margin, that's why I'm going so slowly. Make your own doc note. You need to write in the margin, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, or literally, think ye among you the way Christ thought. Who, being in the form of God, did not hold on to that against all hazards, but made himself of no reputation. It's a subtle meaning, but it's much different. We can say, looking on, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself no reputation. That's true. But the other meaning of our pogmon adds a dimension of the mind of Christ, not an outside abstract evaluator. Let this mind be in you. Think as Christ thought, who, being in the form of God, did not view that as a treasure he would not turn loose of no matter what. His essential being, his oneness in essence with God. As John says, in the beginning, the Word was with God, facing is the Word. Also used when Mary was at Jesus' feet, with all adoring focus on Jesus. And the Word was God, of the same essence as God, being in the form of God. He would not hold on to that against all hazard, but rather released and made himself no reputation. The Greek has the seventh verse, ala, or angla, euton ekkenosen, past tense, the E at the front of the word, avoiding the tense for a moment, which is the E in front of it, kenosin, emptied, but himself emptied. That's the great Christological doctrine of kenosis. And I want to spend some time on it. It has fostered debates theological for 2,000 years. The one who was of the same form as God, of the same essence as God, equal with God, would not hold that. And that's why the alternate form of harpagmon is so important. He did not view that as a treasure he would not release, no matter what, but emptied. Forget the made himself. Strike that out. It's kenosis in the Greek, kenosin. But himself emptied, taking the form, and this ought to arouse you a bit, you that have been reading the doc notes and listening, taking the form doulou of a slave, equal with God, kenosin, emptied himself and took the form of a slave. I think we started this Philippian teaching on that subject. Slaves. I lost a few people over that. One of whom said it was not the gospel. It's not the gospel to be like Christ. You gonna buy that? He emptied himself, not viewing equality with God, a nature that was of the essence of God, as something he would hold on to no matter what, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Now I'm teaching on Philippians Chapter 2, the so-called kenotic phrase. Volumes have been written about that would shock Paul if he could read them. But I also want you to do a little work. I don't see these phones busy. And if they don't get busy, I won't do any more teaching. Now get on the telephone. Okay, don't take any more calls. Get over here with the camera over my left shoulder. All right. And follow the mouse on the screen. I'm going to show you on my computer. We're at Philippians 2:6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's the entire verse. Let's look at it in the Greek. Os, who, in morphe, now we get metamorphosis from that word. Morphology. And as I've said, there are multiple books that have been written I mean, pull books. Trying to argue that Paul was using Plato's concepts and his philosophy of form. No. Paul was not writing a theological, philosophic treatise here. He was talking to ordinary people. And whatever the common sense understanding is, whatever God is, Christ was of the same essence. And whatever a servant is, same word is used down the 7th verse, morphine, doulo, the form of a servant. He had the form of God. And it's sort of a superfluous statement to translate souk. Well, let's take the whole verse in Greek. Who in form God subsisting. Huparkon, subsisting. Not to be snatched or grabbed. Harpagmon, not to be seized violently and held against all hazards. But he turned it loose, released, and from that form, the 7th verse says in the King James, but made himself of no reputation. Boy, that's a long speech. But's okay. The word is clear in the Greek. But made himself of no reputation. 5 words in the English. 2 words in the Greek. Euton. A. Kenosin. Past tense, the E in front, the verb kenosin. But, aya, or angla, himself emptied. Past tense. And took the morphine of a servant, took upon the form of a servant. I really want this to settle in. You hot shots for Jesus. Too hot in here. The Lakers lose all the time, but they sure make hot jackets. Someone gave me one for Christmas, and I'm burning up. Get your fur coats out, folks. I'm cooling this place down. This is not something I want to run by. And I'm not interested in all the hair-splitting theological debates regarding his nature that occupied church councils for 7 centuries. I just want what Paul wanted to communicate. That he had it all. And didn't hang on to it as something to be violently grasped against all hazards. But took in its place, emptying himself, and took in its place the form of a servant. I don't want to beat you to death with the Greek form of the sentence. Just let me say that all Greek grammarians who study this sentence will agree with me. He took the form of the servant. First, and then released, the form of God. It's going to be hard to comprehend. But he did not, as God, release godness and take man. He took the form of a servant, and in that state released. That made it tougher. It wasn't as though he emptied himself and didn't know what he was getting into. He got into it and emptied himself. I have to draw analogies from things that are closest to me in my Christian walk. It's tough being a boss and a pastor. I never have any problems with employees that are not Christians. I don't need trouble. I told you in the past, I took over a publishing house in San Francisco that had Lion's Type Union, Printers Union, Binders Union, had four unions. Four different union stewards in the plant. And we pioneered in San Francisco in those days. The first publishing house to pay for 5 days and work four. I know how to work employees that are not committed Christians. You got a contract. You make a deal. You make an exchange. Produce. Get your pay. Don't produce. Take your check and leave. The difficulty is being pastor and employer at the same time, where the weightier responsibility is developing, shepherding, perfecting in Christ's image. And I never veer from those who come to work, but their primary reason for being there is a Christian commitment. I never veer from judging them in terms of their Christian growth rather than their work product. With the non-Christians, it's all work product. Produce or you're gone, because that's the contract. Punch the clock. Leave on time. I mean, I have them working at the ranch. They got an inbuilt clock, man. Their hands won't hold a shovel when 6:30 comes. The fingers just will not fit any longer. That those who are working on a different kind of commitment, I never veer. I judge them always by attitude, reaction under correction, stewardship, intending the things of God, and behind it all, progress spiritually. But you see, they make a commitment from where they were to be a doulos for God. And they're like the Israelites. Time has a wonderful way of making the Israelites forget the whips and the bricks without straw and remember the leeks and the garlic. So when the going gets tough, I'm still judging them by their spiritual commitment, and they start slipping into the flesh and judging me by a normal boss-worker relationship. Because having made the deal, when the heat comes on, they want out. They want a fleshly criteria. Jesus took the flesh. Jesus became the perfect servant. As the book of Hebrews says, unlike us who have no choice, we are flesh and blood, he voluntarily took flesh and blood upon himself. And being found in that form as the perfect servant, he could have returned to his Father without us. But he had made a decision. He took the form of a servant and released his grasp on the form of God. Humbled himself. Became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Some of you crybabies on your commitments, not just my employees. Same's true of those of you that made a commitment to tithe. Then you want to back out. Made a commitment to God in any respect. You knew what it was before you made the commitment. But the truth is, you have never since making the commitment irreversibly turned loose of your former self. You still want them both. When the heat of commitment's on, you want to return to the old self. Because you haven't emptied yourself up. Jesus made an emptying act. And he became a servant, a slave, obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Okay, don't take any more calls. In this second chapter, Paul has said, if there be any exhortation in Christ, that's the literal, we taught that earlier, first verse, second chapter, any tender feelings of love, any joint participation of the Spirit, if any compassion and mercies, to translate literal, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife is the King James, rivalry is the Greek, or empty glorings. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 5, let this mind be in you. That's what will be thinking the same thing. Think as Jesus thinks, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, common sense meaning of the same essence, in all respects, was not of a mind to snatch it and hold on to it against all hazard or pressure, let me read the way the Expositor's Greek Testament that most people who write on these passages go to and just don't give them credit. He did not regard the being on an equality with God as a thing to be seized violently, snatched, held on to against all hazard, but made himself of no reputation, the Greek, but himself emptied. Just that simple. Two words in the Greek. For all those words in the English, made himself of no reputation. Just two words in the Greek. Himself emptied. And took upon him the form of a slave, doulou. And, in the King James, is not in the Greek. Literally, became, or in fashion, being found as man. Just a further definition of the servitude state that he took as doulou. I'm going to again refer to the Greek. The grammar requires that the primary verb, which is emptying, be the lead verb of the phrase. And a knowledge of Greek grammar makes it clear by the participle. I got plenty of Greek grammarians listening to me. That the taking of the form of slave preceded the emptying. And I was on this point as we went through the station break. He didn't jump off into a new career, having cut the ties and burned his bridges, and then found himself a man. He took the form of a servant, a slave, being in the form of man, and then emptied himself. In that same form that we're in, where we began and he did not begin, where we have no choice, he chose. By the way, doulo, doulos, doulou, remember, is your born slave. Remember that from the doc note? That's why we have Christmas, though he was born at a different date. He became our kinsman redeemer by taking on flesh and blood. He became a born slave, born into our condition. Slave to whom? Oh, you instantly say, slave to God. Well, Satan wasn't convinced, because he offered Jesus everything in the temptation. Everything. All the kingdoms of the world. If he'd just bow down to Satan. Slave to whom? He took the same state we have, not by choice. He did it by choice. We don't have a choice. You can only be slave to Satan, according to the course of this world, or to God. There is no in between. That's the fallacy that most of you live under. You think there's that back-away point. There's that R&R neutral territory. Oh, it's just too hard to be slave to God. Fall back. Slave to sin. Self. The world. All under the prince of the power of the air. I don't think in my entire teaching life I have emphasized as long and as hard a simple truth. And it must be because so many are not getting it. Oh, Satan disguises his bondage. Because under the guise of serving you, you serve him. God honestly claims you. Wake up, everybody. Nudge the one next to you if they look like they're dozing. Wake up those that just became a slave to flesh. Hit them a little harder. I caught one of my employees sleeping just then. What's that tell you about what I was saying earlier? Oh, we've heard this before. It's more theological theory. I'm too good a guy. I break down under the pressure and I give way to the flesh. But I'm not the devil's slave. Yeah, you are. There's nothing in between. When Jesus is in the wilderness, I've told you many times, the King James says, Satan withdrew for a season, not the Greek. The Greek uses a boxing metaphor of a boxer who backs up for a season, unable to penetrate the defense, looking for a new opening. You take the King James theory, whew, I can catnap for a minute. Pow! The devil's on you. There is no in-between land. There's no graduation point where the devil's down here, I'm up here, filled with the Spirit, baptized and delivered. He had it all. Willingly took the form of a slave. Then emptied himself. See, there are some people who argue that Jesus did not become the Son of God until the baptism. And his subsequent defeat of Satan was in the power of the Spirit that descended as John baptized him. That's the theory of many who don't want to accept the virgin birth and the necessity of the kinsman redeemer being born. Now, I think most of those who listen to me are in the evangelical frame who accept that Mary birthed the Christ, the divine Son of God. He did not become God's Son at baptism. He was God's Son at birth. They need your help in a VTR room, Lou. No, he was born the Son of God, born of Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And he didn't empty himself by the Greek requirement of this phrase, Paul is right, and I exist to preach Paul's truth. He didn't empty himself and then be born. He was born, then emptied himself. Not as a babe in swaddling clothes. When, I don't know, but at some point it is clear, as servant, he emptied himself of, quote, the form of God and equality with God and all that that carried with it. And again, to utilize some heavy Greek grammar, that phrase, but, get on the mouse, on my computer, the verse is Philippians 2:7, but, Allah himself emptied. Remember I talked to you about the cases in the Greek? We use prepositional phrases. The cases in the Greek, we made a lot of the genitive case earlier on, that the remembering had you a part of it, and the context was their remembrance of him, not the other way around. This is the accusative case, which means the action of the verb ends right here. He emptied him. What's the next part of that word? He emptied himself. He was co-equal in the Godhead. He emptied himself. He became emptied of self. And his life resisted Satan's attempt to claim him as slave. He conquered Satan. And his meat was to do the will not of himself. His meat was to do the will of his Father that sent him. Satan will let you have all the religion in the world as long as you don't give up self, because that's what he's linked with. All these damnable human potential doctrines deify self. Humanism deifies self. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I, myself, not my will, but thine be done. You analyze all of your conflict with the claims of God. It's right there. Self doesn't want to die and have God's will engraved in your heart. You want God to be your helper. God to help you be what you want to be. God to take care of you. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ, who emptied himself. And took upon him doulou, the form of a slave. There's never any conflict between your pride and your ego. and Satan. He'll feed that furnace like my granddad here bossing a cow, because he knows he gets you in the end. God says, he that cometh after me and taketh not his cross cannot be my disciple. And back to my earlier illustrations, I tell my dedicated staff members over and over again, if you didn't come here to die to self, you have no business being here. If you didn't come here to see the ego and its control over you broken, you have no business being here. If you just want a job, you came under false pretense. I know how to hire people who just want a job. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, didn't die hard to hang on to that, but emptied himself. Took the form of a servant and emptied himself of that divine form. Didn't mean he ceased to be divine. Had I another half hour, I'd break these words apart. We're talking about expression. The divine expression. He emptied himself of it. Having chosen to express himself as a servant, emptying himself of divine expression, having taken, the literal translation should read, emptied himself, having taken already the form of a bond slave. That's what he said to Peter. Put your sword away. I could call legions. But he emptied himself of that expression, denied himself of that. Having taken the form of a servant, slave. You accept God's grace, having taken the form of a slave. And as Jesus emptied himself, quit reaching back and bringing those old self-centered ways into the arena of commitment. You understand anything I'm saying? Well, tell me if you do. Get on the telephone. Okay, let's apply what I've been teaching. This is First Fruits Month. The first fruits belong to the Lord. But I can't afford it. But I got to think about it. But there must be some way I can get out of it. The first fruits of the Lord's. Well, I don't understand it. Okay, I'll explain it. You know what your first week's salary is? You know what the first dividend on any investment is? You know what the first check on a new job is? You know what the first return on an investment is? Most of you go by the same calendar I do. January is the first month of the year. I'm probably being real kind and saying the first week belongs to the Lord. Most likely it's the first check. But there are some who get paid once a year, they say. Well, pay the way you do the IRS. You estimate your first week. And if you don't pay it in advance, the IRS fines you. Well, God had the same system in the Old Testament. You don't pay the tithes, you borrow from the tithes, you pay double. He's a little better than the IRS there. He took 100% interest. Quit arguing. The issue is, you emptied yourself yet? God's will is very clear. Don't talk to me about the law. This long preceded the law. And if Paul can argue that a contract of faith cannot be nullified by the law given to Moses 400 years later, and we say, hallelujah, we're saved by faith. The tithe and the first fruits preceded the law. All the law did was itemize. And God's real good. He tells you the kind of angel that would go before you if you give the first fruits, and how that angel will mess you up if you don't. It says a mean angel. You can decide whose side he's on. Angel enforcer. Against you or for you. And against your enemies. Oh, you quit teaching now and started meddling. That hurts myself. Get on the phone. We're near Oregon. I'd like to give Dr. Scott a set of New Testament commentaries. He gives me the author's 10-volume set. Ask if I would like it. To my horses like hay. Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm a student at University of Minnesota. I'm listening to you now 5 nights a week on shortwave. I just got the pulpit. I want to start doing something. And I have a world band member. New world band member, 3,502. Why don't we take that on up to 4,000? I really want us to defeat this 3,000 barrier this year. With truly dedicated listeners and supporters who want to be a part of this worldwide ministry. Come on now. Quit balking. I had a staff member I was getting on to the other day through someone else, through another one of my staff, trying to get to the bottom of something. And his reaction immediately was defensive. I'm tired of all this backbiting. All I got to say to that is he obviously did not esteem others better than himself. Others were backbiters, he wasn't. There's no other way to translate it. I'll be hiring new people in this year. Changes I'm affecting are taking place. Leave yourself at home. Bring a vessel fit to be molded in his image. It is not the Holy Spirit that makes you flame out in defensivism when you get your tail in a crack serving Jesus. Somebody pushes to the front seat and gets offended when they get moved to the back and tries to rationalize it with color. Jesus said, when you're invited to a feast, go to the low room. Don't ever take the upper room. Go to the back seat. Don't take the front seat. Feels a lot better to be moved from the back to the front than to be moved from the front to the back. And what job do I have if it isn't finding those that think they belong on the front and moving them to the back? What kind of pastor you got that won't do that? Thank God for the hammer, the file, and the fire. Who hammers on you? Oh, get off my back. God hammers on me. He assigned you to me for my hammering on you. You want just God to hammer on you? Get out. Go. You better be sure he's called you. Or he may hammer you back. And that's tougher. I hammer on you. He hammers you. I can't put sickness on you. I can't put disaster on you. I can only help you see yourself and deal with it. I can't send an angel in front of you. I can't turn one on you, against you. And I sure cannot control the most disastrous thing that can happen to you. The Holy Spirit decides you're too hard to break and he doesn't want to deal with you anymore. And turns you over to a strong delusion, you believe a lie or damned. Only a few people associated with me in ministry have encountered me at that stage where I never raise my voice to them again, never say anything to them. When the Spirit is finally revealed to me, it's too late. There's nothing to save. I don't yell at anybody. We're in that state. I've surprised a few people as they've seen how unemotional I am, that anything anybody does that has crossed that line where there's complete assurance in my spirit, there's nothing more that I am charged as shepherd to do to try to save them. If you're one of those interns in ministry, you better pray I never stop yelling at you. And you saints better pray I never stop yelling at you. It's first fruits time. Are you going to hang on to what is the Lord's by his own declaration as a treasure you have to not be released against all hazards? Or are you going to hilariously hurl that first week's income, grateful that you've been a trustee, and that's the earnest of what God's going to give you the rest of the year? Why do you think God treated Achan the way he did at Jericho? God gave them everything from every other city. Jericho was first fruits. That's why they were not allowed to keep one thing in that city. And Achan tried to hang on to a little. It cost him himself and his family. You better give to the Lord and release it quickly. The first fruits that belong to him. Now go on telephone. Kumasi, Ghana, in Africa. Calling to request Dr. Scott's magazine. I want to know more about your ministry. Just listen. Paramaribo, Suriname, South America. I've been listening several years. I listen to the teaching and enjoy it. I get spiritual direction from you, and I'd like to become a World Band member. Accra, Ghana. Yes, I'd like a World Band member in the magazine. I've been listening to Dr. Scott. Hermosillo, Mexico. Congratulations on the program. I like to listen here in Mexico, and I'd like a World Band number. Monrovia, Liberia, calling from the Episcopal Church in Liberia. Enjoys the teaching. Said many friends want to be World Band members. Saitama, Japan. Listening to Radio Moscow. Very good signal from Moscow. Antigua, pledging first fruits. Donegal, Ireland. I like the teaching very much. Westmoreland, Jamaica. wants the magazines. Can I give an offering in Jamaican currency? Any currency in the world. We're an international organization. You give to the place you are receiving your teaching. We know how to handle foreign money. Go on the telephone. Victoria, Texas. Another one asking me if I want a book. Like a man in the desert wants water. Rialto, I'm calling in what I was going to give. And First Fruits also. Please sign me up as a world band. I also want to be in the Philippian band. I want to offer myself for anything you want done. I'm an ordained minister and I'm able to translate from English to Spanish and vice versa. We need a lot of those. So, thank you for offering yourself. North Ireland listening. Vega Alto, Puerto Rico. Sarikuni, Gambia. Want to be a world band member. Calcutta, India. I think your program is very interesting. Wants the literature we offer. Mexico City, Mexico. Full of questions. Just keep listening. Spanish-speaking caller from San Francisco. We're picking up lots of people in Los Angeles area and San Francisco for the Sunday morning services. 11 o'clock is bilingual, Spanish and English. Now come on, get on telephone!